Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use His Word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
Hello, friend, and Merry Christmas to you. These days we are getting to know God by His Christmas names. And as we get started today with our final message, let me just review where we've been. We've gotten to know Him by His name, Wonderful Counselor, then Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those four of the seven Christmas names of God come from a prophecy found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, where the prophet says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And that prophecy came 700 to 800 years before Jesus arrived in Bethlehem. Then we came into the New Testament and to the Gospels. We started in the Gospel of John and got to know him by a rather esoteric name, the Logos, translated the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then probably the most common Christmas name that we're all familiar with, Emmanuel, God with us. Now we come to the name by which this child who was born in Bethlehem is known worldwide, the name Jesus. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, where it says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." You know, some people are so famous, we know them by their mononym. That's a new word for me. It probably is for you too. A mononym is a single name. Examples from the entertainment world include Cher, Prince, Elvis. How about Bono or Adele? Here's one. You probably already thought of this one. Beyoncé. These are all musicians and singers that we know by a single name. Kanye West recently changed his name from two words to one. He now calls himself Ye. And that threw me into a state of confusion because he named his son North, and now I'm wondering, is his son's name Northwest or North Ye? It probably doesn't matter. Soccer fans recognize the name Pele, a single name, Pele, as the soccer goat. I mean, he is the greatest of all time, Pele is. Historians refer to philosophers with mononyms like Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, and even Voltaire. But there is one person in history and in eternity who is truly the greatest of all time. He has no comparison. You don't put him in a list with others. He is in a category all by himself. He possesses a multitude of names, including Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He who came from heaven to earth is also known as Emmanuel, God with us, and Logos, or the Word. And if you're one of his disciples, you probably recognize all of these names as his Christmas names. But if none of these names by which he is known rings a Christmas bell, this name will. His name, are you ready for this? Is Jesus. And it's the most beautiful and powerful mononym anyone has ever heard. Now, technically, our Lord's name is not Jesus Christ, or even Christ Jesus. Sometimes you see it flipped around that way. Jesus is his name, but Christ is his title. It's a title which means Messiah, or the Anointed One. Born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, Jesus was the long-awaited Christ child whom the prophets predicted would sit upon the throne of David forever. Now, how and why did this special child receive the name Jesus? Well, to answer that question, we got to travel back in time all the way to ancient Palestine. And let's do that by landing in the middle of Luke's gospel and the Christmas story that he records. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold," here it is, "you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." The angel of the Lord went on to say to Mary, "The child will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." If anyone was ever the goat, the greatest of all time, well, his name is Jesus. Now, when Joseph learned that his betrothed Mary was pregnant, the Bible says in Matthew's gospel that he resolved quietly to divorce her. In a dream, the angel of the Lord informed Joseph of the supernatural conception by the Holy Spirit and the special child that was growing inside Mary's womb. And then the angel said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And then the angel adds this, "For he will save his people from their sins." Joseph did not choose the child's name, nor did Mary. The name was chosen for them from heaven. This heaven-sent angel who explained everything to Joseph in a dream and had conversation with Mary and said, "This child's name shall be Jesus." Now, the name Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. That's why the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Inherent in the name is his divine purpose and reason in coming. The name by which the world knows this famous rabbi from Nazareth points to his divine mission and purpose. Thus, Jesus is our Savior. Now, that sounds like kind of churchy language, doesn't it? To say he is our Savior. He's a Savior because he came to save us from our sins. The title Savior reminds me of a Christmas card I received years ago that reads, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us, you guessed it, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, let's go a little bit deeper into the name of Jesus. It gets a little bit tedious and in kind of the category of etymology, you know, how words have meaning and so forth. But the name Jesus is worth exploring because it produces good theology, a good understanding of why he was named Jesus and who he is. Yeshua is the transliteration of Jesus from the Hebrew and Aramaic languages. Yeshua. Yeshua comes from two words, the word Yah, which is an abbreviation of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and Yasha, which means rescue, deliver, or save. Furthermore, the English spelling of Yeshua is Joshua, which when translated into the Koine Greek, which was the language of the New Testament, it becomes Isus, which becomes Jesus in English. I know that's a long way around the block to understand how he got his name Jesus. And I hope you're still with me there. The name Jesus was common in the first century. It's important for us to understand that. It was like calling somebody Joe or John or Bill. So common. And the name Joshua, which is related to Jesus, was common in the first century as well. I know something about common names because I have one of those common names, at least in my generation. But there's no further distinction to me. I mean, I start and I end with commonality. I'm kind of like a raindrop falling from the sky into the big blue ocean, and it just kind of blends in with everybody else. I mean, there's so many Ron Joneses out there. Very common name. Jesus, on the other hand, identifies with common people by assuming a very common name in the first century, but by adding Christ, by adding a title to his identification. He is Jesus Christ, Jesus who is the Christ. Well, that quickly reminds us that he is uniquely the anointed one, uniquely the one that all the prophets were talking about for centuries. And speaking of Joshua, well, just as Old Testament Joshua led the Israelites to take possession of the promised land by defeating enemies like the Canaanites, Jesus leads us to victory over sin and death and even the devil. So what's in a name like Jesus? What makes it the most beautiful and powerful mononym we have ever heard? How should we relate to his wonderful name even at Christmas time? Let me suggest a few ways that I think are very, very practical for us. Number one, exalt the name of Jesus. Exalt the name of Jesus this Christmas. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Exalt the name of Jesus. Worship Jesus. Worship him because of all that his name means. And for this reason and more, because he has an exalted name, a name to which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. For this reason and more, we should never, ever take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. And yet today I hear people use his name as an expletive. I never hear them use the name of Muhammad or Confucius or what, but boy, the name Jesus can get drugged through the mud. No, we need to exalt the name of Jesus, especially at Christmas time. Secondly, experience salvation in Jesus' name. The early church expressed no ambiguity about the exclusivity of salvation and the source of salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No other name. No other name scales as high and as exalted as the name of Jesus. And we experience salvation in Jesus' name. Thirdly, receive forgiveness in Jesus' name. When the Apostle Peter realized that the gospel was also for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. You may remember in Acts chapter 10 that he traveled to a region where he met a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the Italian cohort. And he said to this Gentile leader, "To Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him," listen to this, "receives forgiveness of sins through his name." There's power to forgive in the name of Jesus. Next, we pray in Jesus' name. In the upper room, Jesus spoke to his disciples in a way that made prayer in his name a priority. He said in John 14, beginning in verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything," he says, "in my name, I will do it." What does it mean to pray in the exalted name of Jesus? Well, it means that we're praying according to his will and according to his authority. Jesus even taught us in the Sermon on the Mount to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The setting of priorities, the establishment of, I plan to request this from you because I know it is in keeping with your will. And anything that we pray in the name of Jesus, according to his will, well, of course, he's going to answer that. Next, be baptized in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Apostle Peter echoed the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples by saying these words, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And he adds, "For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Also from the Great Commission, you know, Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By baptizing in Jesus' name, not to mention the other members of the Holy Trinity, we are unmistakably identifying ourselves with Him and nobody else. Next, be healed in Jesus' name. While entering the temple at the hour of prayer, you may remember in Acts chapter 3 that both Peter and John, two of the apostles, came upon a lame beggar. And he wanted them to give him something. And Peter said to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man did just that. There's healing power in the name of Jesus. And then finally, we fight spiritual battles in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent some disciples out, sort of like an advance team. There were 72 of them on this team, and they went into the cities and into the tiny little hamlets where Jesus was going to be ministering and prepared the way for him. And upon returning, Luke says that they rejoiced. And one of the things they rejoiced about, they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Yeah, they were able to step into the spiritual world and in the name of Jesus, command demons here and there. Even the demons respect the power in the name of Jesus. This is all part of the Christmas story. His name, this child's name that was growing in Mary's womb, shall be called Jesus. And there's no more beautiful or powerful or significant or exalted name than the name of Jesus. Hillsong recorded a beautiful song that's sort of become an anthem in the church. We sing it often here at our church, titled, "What a Beautiful Name It Is." And the chorus goes like this: "What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus." And then when the chorus repeats it, it changes slightly to "What a wonderful name it is," followed by "What a powerful name it is." Yeah, when you think of the name Jesus, it's beautiful. It's wonderful, it's powerful, it's inspiring. There's only one mononym that is worthy, friend, of our Christmas worship. Only one. And it's not Beyonce, it's not Elvis, it's not Aristotle or Socrates or Pele. The one name exalted above all names in heaven and on earth that is worthy of our Christmas worship, His name is Jesus. Don't forget that name, especially at Christmas. Worship this baby, this child named Jesus, because He came to save His people from their sins. Do you know Him as Savior this Christmas? Or do you just kind of know Him as a good teacher, a moral leader? No, He came to be your Savior. And I want to encourage you this Christmas to consider the name Jesus in all of its meaning, in all of its power and beauty and glory and wonderfulness. And make your way to Bethlehem and worship this Christ child. This child with a single name that is worthy of our Christmas worship. His name is Jesus.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete list of resources available from Ron's ministry, visit somethinggoodradio.org.